I would also ask, out of courtesy, that if you have a cell phone, please put it on silent mode or turn it off, because we do record the board proceedings, and it would be appreciated. Thank you. Stacy, are you ready? Board, ready?
Absolutely.
Okay. I will call to order the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this 12th of June, 2012. Would again ask the members of the audience to join the board as we honor our nation with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good. On behalf of the board, I certainly want to acknowledge our appreciation and thanks to all of you that have gathered this morning. Obviously, there's a topic on the agenda of great concern to you, and we appreciate your attendance today, and hopefully we'll give you an opportunity to comment as we move forward. The next item on the agenda is the consideration of the minutes of 6-5-12.
Move approval.
Second.
It's been moved and second the approval of the minutes of 6-5-12. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Item number four is a public comment. This is a time where members of the audience may address the board regarding a topic on today's agenda. I would want to call to your attention that item number five under other reports following as we move down to item number two will be a discussion of the Rockstar Land and Livestock LLC request and the fact that that has been withdrawn, but we will deal with that at that particular point, so it'll be early on in the agenda. Certainly, individuals can address the board on any of the topics on the agenda if they so desire at this time, or may do so when we come to that item since it is moved up on the agenda. So, board, do you have a
I want to make sure I understand. Are you suggesting it would be appropriate for the people that want to comment on livestock feeding operations and things like that to do so now, or can we hold that and just do it in place of what would have been a discussion of the manure management plan?
That would be my preference, however.
We deal with it all right there in that spot and move ahead.
You're feeling great. So be it. Okay. Great. Okay, so with that, are there any other any comments on any other topics that anyone would like to address the board regarding today's agenda? Okay, seeing no one then, we will move to other reports. The first is a discussion and consideration of the proposal from Schumacher Elevator Company to replace elevator's hydraulic cylinder assembly in jail elevators at Story County Administration Building. Al Hahn, Facility Director, will address this topic. Thank you, Al.
Each year we get inspected for all of our elevators that we have in the county. We have quite a few of them. We get inspected from the Iowa Workforce Development Division of Labor as to their safety and make sure that they qualify per state code. This year we have what we call as a jail elevator, and I know Paul knows which one that is because it went directly from the Sally Port up to the jail when we had it here. We do use that elevator quite a bit. It hasn't had any major things done to it, but it does have a hydraulic cylinder that goes about 20 feet in the ground. That cylinder needs to be replaced per code because of it could blow out, it could leak oil into the ground, and then we'd have a cleanup to do. Unfortunately, it's a non-budgeted item. It's for $23,480. I did not budget to replace that this year.
So we have a timetable, in other words, that this has to be addressed. Is that my understanding?
They gave me June 30th, so a lot of time. They gave me 30 days to get it. I think once we get a signed agreement that we're going to do this, I can probably get a waiver to extend it. The other thing is once, or we have the option to shut it down and not use it again. If that happens, the state will put a padlock on it. We'll drain the oil out of it. If we ever want to use it in the future, we're going to have to get a reissued permit for it, which means that as elevator codes change, we're going to have a lot more expense to bring that elevator up to code. The question is, are we going to need it? Are we going to, you know, that area is really nice where it goes to the overhead, because we have talked about that area being a storage area at some time that we could enclose that area, and it would be nice to have an elevator that would take it clear up to second floor if we had anything. EE, some of the roofers, some of the supplies all use that elevator. You know, it takes us right straight upstairs. We don't have to mess with the passenger elevators, the public elevators out in the lobby area. So
let me ask this other question. In the event that we would have a temporary closure mm-hmm. of either the elevators that comes to this second floor here, that could be put in use while that is shut down, if it was operational and functional. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Now, the public elevators we did, probably 4 years ago. We did one per year, because you can see it's kind of pricey. So this one here, last year the state gave us no indication that we needed to do it, but they did this time around.
May I ask the question to you, is it possible that you have this within your budget somewhere, or is this something that we will need to pull from reserves from our ending balance?
Well, with the concrete work going out up front, we're going to be down to probably 92% spent of the budget. I can pay some of it, but not all of it. I'd have to get with the auditor to, you know, kind of work that out. The best thing probably, today's the last claim day, so I don't see any emergencies coming up. We could possibly do it, but it could take the budget into red, too, by a few thousand.
Doesn't make any sense to me to take this elevator out of operation. It's an elevator that's used daily. It's a big part of how this building operates. Our voting equipment goes up and down on that elevator for every single election. I mean, that elevator is part of this building. This is an expense we got to find a way to do. My suggestion would be that we take you to 100% in your budget and try to make it work. And if there's a few thousand extra dollars that we got to find, this is just one of those things, from my viewpoint, that we got to do. I don't see a way that it makes sense to not have that elevator. I don't see a way that it makes sense to procrastinate on doing this. I think we just go ahead and get it done.
The 45-year-old elevator.
Yeah.
And we're probably lucky we've had to wait this long in order to spend the money.
Correct. Yep.
To me, it doesn't make any sense to padlock it and then 2 years down the road say, hey, we really need that elevator.
Yeah, we're going to spend a whole lot more money. Anytime you reissue a permit or a operating permit from the state, you just got to jump through a lot of hoops. And this would be the cheapest route, or we don't use it anymore, period. You know. So
talk to me about Schumacher. Do we get other proposals? Are there any you know, homegrown local companies that can do this work? Is Schumacher our only option? Just talk me through that.
Schumacher has been with us. I hired Schumacher when I came here 23 years ago, and they do our annual lift tests. They do our monthly safety inspections. They're here. They give us a cut rate on anything that has to be done, because we do have a maintenance operational contract with them. We've had it for 22 years, and they're just an excellent company. I can go out and get more bids, but I don't know if we have time to do that. I feel that this is – I don't think any bids are going to be any less than this, only because of the paperwork that's going to have to be done by another company that Schumacher already has.
Okay, board, I would entertain a motion.
I'd move approval of the proposal from Schumacher to fix that elevator.
Second.
Been moved and second. The to move forward with Schumacher to fix the elevator at $23,480, with the understanding that we would increase the facilities budget from the 92% that, well, from the other 5%, basically, so it would be at 100%. So hopefully most of the dollars will come from within that budget line.
I think we will. We just won't have any leftovers.
Right.
And of course, here's the other thing to this, with today being the last
claim day.
We're not going to get the work done until...
Well, actually, next Tuesday is the last claim day. We're meeting on Tuesday morning just for claims only.
Okay, all right.
At 8 o'clock.
All right. So if Schumacher has any ordering problems or anything about getting this thing done, it may come out of next fiscal year. I want to make you aware of that. If that's the case, I think we'll be fine next year.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Well, thanks.
Thank you, Al.
Thanks, Al.
And we'll be in touch. Okay? Okay. Item number two on the agenda was a discussion and acknowledging the receipt of the new manure management plan from Rockstar Land and Livestock LLC here in Nevada. The board just recently received notice that the application plan has been withdrawn, and as a result of that, I am not anticipating that there will be any formal action of the board today. However, it was brought to our attention that the men's family perhaps might be looking at bringing this back to the board at a later date if things work out as they work with other providers to assist them. With that in mind, the board, I think, clearly understood that we took no action last week, primarily because of the sensitivity of this issue and its impact to the park, the lake, in particular, as far as the proximity. And we wanted to make sure that not only did the conservation board have an opportunity to weigh in on this, but that the citizens at large that use this facility would also be able to address the board, realizing up front that the Board of Supervisors does not have any authority in this matter in terms of either denying it or approving this other than acknowledging the receipt. So with the fact that it is being withdrawn, no formal action has basically been required. However, I did attend the Conservation Board meeting last evening. I'm sure we will hear a report from Director Mike Cox regarding what took place at the Conservation Board. I see several of you in the crowd today that was at that meeting last evening, so I think that will be a worthy topic for us to consider as well. So with that, many of you that have gathered, I'm sure, came for the express purpose of voicing whatever concern you may have regarding the proposed confinement at the location as submitted. So with that, board, first I will yield if you have a comment or two prior to just calling on the individuals, and I will ask that you try to be somewhat brief. We don't really want to have individuals speaking 5 minutes and so forth. And since we don't have that many listed here, I think 3 minutes would be sufficient by and large. I will ask again that we exercise a courtesy regardless to what side of the item, the issue you're on. I think everyone here needs to be treated with utmost respect, and I think that that is exactly what I would expect of us as members of the audience. This is a sensitive topic. It's certainly something that I think the landowners are very much aware of the sensitivity of this nature. I think they have every right to be able to address the board regarding their proposed plans, as well as those of you that have oppositions to where it is going in. So with that, anything from you guys before we entertain?
I agree with a lot of what you said there, Wayne. Just recognition that in our current process in the state of Iowa, this is the opportunity for public input. It's the way it works, and I think it's important that we all recognize that this is the opportunity for everybody to share their thoughts on the issue, and we need to take that really seriously. The other thing I do have to say is I have to leave here at 11:20 today. So if at 11:20 I get up and leave, and Deb, my apologies. I'm sure I won't be here for your report. If I have to get up and go, please don't take it as anything personal. It's just I have to leave at 11:20. So with that.
All right. So we'll ask if you'll come up and have a seat at the chair. The microphone there is available. I will ask that you state your name and your city of residence when you are going to speak. The first name is Shane Carmen. Okay. Take the one on the far right. Just that's usually works a little bit better. Not that the other. I think the other's been fixed, but I don't know. Okay.
Find out. My name is Shane Carmen. I live in rural Nevada. I've spoken with each of you supervisors individually yesterday, as a matter of fact. I think I've made my points very clear to you all, so I won't take any more time. I just want to go on record as saying I'm opposed to this facility. I would also ask that, Mr. Clinton, you were at last night's Conservation Board meeting. You got to see the copy of the resolution. I'm not sure if the other supervisors have or not. I would strongly urge you to take a strong look at that and possibly issue a resolution mirroring the feelings of Conservation Board. I would also strongly urge you all to take a strong stance on taking home rule, putting pressure on legislatures to put those reins back in the hands of the Story County supervisors. That's all I have to say on this matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next we have Larry Ginter, I believe. Okay.
Thank you for hearing us today. My name is Larry Ginter. I'm from Rhodes, Iowa, a third-generation family farmer. I also raised hogs. I'm now not in the business anymore on account of the big, large-scale hog factories that helped drive me out on all my customers. I appreciate, Mr. Clinton, your comments last night and your frustration about home rule. We are definitely really facing a real problem about home rule because the governor, the state legislature, the NPR, the Environmental Commission, the President of the United States, the presidents, the Congress, and all the other regulatory agencies are looking the other way at what's really happening out here as far as industrial agriculture versus family farm agriculture. This is what this facility is all about. It's about industrial agriculture, not family farm production. If it was family farm production, they would be owning the building, they would be owning the hogs, they would be making all the management decisions, they'd be selling the hogs under their name, and they'd be taking the profit and putting it into the community. That's not going to happen. Also, a comment was made last night that I want to go on record of opposing. And if somebody made mention that, don't worry about it, they won't have any Mexicans working in the facility. That was offensive to me and all the members of Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement. I have friends who are Hispanic, and that is really irritating to me. And also, the people of a certain state called Veracruz in Mexico has been severely impacted by the Smithfields and Carroll Foods, huge industrial agriculture, have ruined that state, driven thousands of family farmers, Mexican family farmers, off the land. And they're in the same predicament as we are here in this country. And the Smithfields of this world have driven 60% of Romanian farmers out of business and 60% or 80% of Polish farmers out of business. So this large-scale agriculture is devastating to this country, devastating to our environment, and I urge you folks to pass a resolution like the Conservation Board and refuse this building here because we got to protect that little lake out there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ginter. Next, we have Evan. Is it Berger? Okay, thank you.
My name is Evan Berger. I've lived in Huxley my whole life. And today I just want to talk a little bit about a number. That number is 2,498. Kind of an unusual number. You know, this was the number of hogs at the proposed facility. Why not just go for the round 2,500 is the question. And the answer to that is there's only one reason that they'd go, that any proposal will go two hogs under this 2,500, and that's to avoid public oversight. The laws as they stand today in Iowa give the county a single, very weak, very ineffective tool in decisions such as these, and that's the master matrix. But that doesn't kick in until you hit the 2,500 head mark. So, you know, this is a very clear choice made on the part of the developer to avoid any sort of public oversight, any sort of public input on the location or the facility. And I condemn that. I want the board to, or I'd like the board to pass a resolution condemning factory farms and this proposal in particular. I actually have a petition signed by over 500 members of the community opposing factory farms and in particular the Kyle Menz proposal. If I could submit that to the for the board's consideration.
Okay. May I just ask the one question? Are these users of the park? Are they all Story County residents? Or how many? Are there several that are out of county residents as a part of this 500?
Right. There are several out of county residents. The majority are Story County citizens of Story County, and of the out of county residents, a lot of those signatures were gathered at the park itself. So they are users of the park.
Do you have a way of identifying who the park users were? My concern, and I'll be very honest with you, I understand, you know, citizens, groups that are formed around these issues, and they have every right to do so. Members of Story County have every right to participate. But the way that I believe that we as a Board of Supervisors, we're responsible to the citizens of Story County. That includes landowners, producers, as well as people who reside within the county. And I'm concerned about what Story County residents think, not people who live in other counties around the state of Iowa. So if they are frequent users of Hickory Grove Park and they are expressing a concern and have signed that petition, then obviously I'm interested in understanding where they're coming from. So that's my only reason. So numbers mean a lot to a lot of people, but numbers don't mean that much to me if they're not users of the park or residents of Story County.
Yeah, I understand your concerns, and fortunately we have asked the signers of the petition to state their town of residence, so there is a way to sort out the residents of the county from the non-residents.
Thank you.
I just had a question. I like numbers pretty well, and you started with 2498, and I think clearly 2498 is there because 2500 is the magic number. I don't think anybody would dispute that. My question would be, what would be an acceptable number? Go ahead.
I would like to see the two hogs added so that there's some sort of public oversight so the Board of Supervisors does have.
And I'm talking about, is there ever a point that there doesn't need to be public oversight if somebody wants to have a dozen hogs? I mean, you know, I like numbers. I just want to understand. Somebody put this number in. I don't think somebody just dreamt up, let's go. I think it's 1,000 units that we're talking about, and that translates to 2,500 hogs. Just from your point of view, I'm just curious. I would assume that you support farming at some level.
Right, yes, okay. Of course.
What would be acceptable?
A couple hundred hogs. You know, my dad was a hog farmer, you know, they raised 200, 300 hogs, you know, and that was the standard size of a farm back in his day. And so, you know, I you're right. I'm not anti-farming. I'm not anti-farmers. I'm pro-family farms, anti-factory farms. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What was the question on the petition?
The petition states, "We, the undersigned residents of Story County, value our rural communities, family farms, and quality of life. We support independent family farm producers. We strongly oppose Kyle Menz's plans for large-scale, corporate-backed factory farms because they pollute our air and water, threaten our health, lower the value of our homes and farmsteads, deplete country revenues, county revenues, decrease the economic viability of our towns, run family farmers out of business, and could damage the quality of Hickory Grove Park and Lake. We call on our elected officials to support our efforts to stop Kyle Menz from building his factory farm.
All right. Thank you. You may submit that. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Next, we have Mark Brackey.
My name is Mark Brackey. I live near Hickory Grove Lake. I agree with a lot of the issues that have been brought up about this issue in the last few days, the couple meetings that we've had. I would just like to add that, myself, I am not opposed to the Menz family, you know, putting one of these things up. But my whole issue is the location of this one and the decision to put it there. I found out last night that the DNR has started a study on Hickory Grove Lake as far as water quality, and they what doesn't make sense to me is they know that Hickory Grove Lake has this water quality issue, and then I believe this was started before any of this the hog confinement was proposed. And then they turn around and okay this hog confinement to be so close to the lake, which I think is going to impair the water quality even more. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and
well, keep in mind that they have not okayed anything yet. However, the process is what is you're concerned with, and the guidelines that are laid out for the producers to follow if they wish to have approval. And if they meet that guideline, it's very difficult for the DNR to deny it based on, the fact that they met all the rules and regulations. And I believe that's probably what you're speaking more in regard to in this case, right?
Yep. Okay. I understand that. It just seems like there's a little bit of a... But, my biggest concern is just the air and the water quality, more importantly, for the lake. You know, I hunt and fish, and I take my boys out there ice fishing all the time. We fish there quite a bit in the summer. So I'm just more worried about the quality of the lake.
All right. Any other thing?
No,
thank you. Thank you. Donald Schumann.
My name is Donald Schumann, S-C-H-U-M-A-N-N. I live down in the southeast part of Ames. Been a resident down there for about 44 years now. I live next to the South Skunk River floodplain, so occasionally I have lakefront property. But I was raised on a farm up in Pocahontas County, so I know all about hog raising, cattle, sheep, chickens, horses, milk cows. We were self-supporting on the farm, as most farmers were in those days. My biggest concern with some of the proposals and some of the modern-day practices are that specifically pertaining to confined hog raising, feeding, is that some of the laws that were passed, I believe this is like about 15 years or so ago, like so many laws, become antiquated. They need to be adjusted. They need to be changed to protect resources. This morning's Des Moines Register had an article. One dealt with soil conservation, where a couple of people had wrote this article. It was a very informative article. They talked about the fact that in the last 25 years in this state, there has been over 1 million acres of what was grass and grazing lands have been converted to cropland. That made me think about what I've been seeing this past winter east of Ames, where at least about a half a dozen farmers, and maybe I shouldn't say farmers, they may be property owners that are living in California or someplace, had fence rows removed trees, brush, vegetation, native plants were bulldozed out, and now today what was a strip that was about 10 feet wide is nothing but corn or beans. And I realize those property owners, they have to make a living. They need to make a profit. But on the other hand, we need to be conserving our resources, not just in the way of the public parks and the state parks, county parks that we have, in other areas too. Eventually, we're going to have everything turned over, and we're not going to have the beautiful facilities like Hickory Grove Park and Lake and other parks and lakes here in Story County and in this state. We need to be protecting it. I think somehow or another that we got to get back to home rule, for one thing, definitely. But I don't know how to bring about all this other than perhaps if there isn't an organization of county board of supervisors, maybe conservation departments for the various counties getting together and trying to work with our state legislators to bring about some adjustments in antiquated laws that will end up providing better avenues, better ways of protecting our environment. This is the water resources, the conservation of our land and resources, air quality. And I don't know how to go about it, but I would certainly be willing to help somebody that wants to try to get this organized and get it rolling. Do you have any questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Okay, next we have Mike Cox.
Well, good morning. My name is Mike Cox, Director of Story County Conservation. So, thank you for giving everyone the opportunity to vet their comments, concerns on this issue, and some in support of it, of course. We did have a very, well, I guess before I go on any further, our conservation board chair was going to come speak to you this morning. He is conflicted with a radio program that he's probably doing right about now, so wasn't able to attend. So sends his regards. We did have a very, very popular conservation board meeting last night. I think we set a record for attendance at our board meeting, standing room only. We had about 70 people, give or take 70 people in attendance. There was, as you can imagine, a lot of support. Some of the same people that you see here were at the meeting last night. I guess the biggest thing I want to mention this morning is the resolution that the Conservation Board did pass, and I will read that to you. And do you have it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same as the draft that I saw yesterday?
Yeah, it should be. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll just take a moment and read this into the record here. Story County Conservation Board, Resolution Number 2012-02, a resolution on the location of confined animal feeding operations in proximity to county parks. Like most county parks in Iowa, Story County's parks are surrounded by private land, much of it agricultural in land use. As such, we depend heavily on the careful stewardship of those around us to maintain the integrity of those parks. Poor soil erosion practices, invasive species, spray drift, domestic animals, odors, tile drainage, carrying fertilizer and pesticides, weed control practices, all can negatively impact the public land of county parks. In many cases, this is true for lands immediately surrounding the parks, but it is also increasingly true for lands more distant from them. This depends, of course, on prevailing winds, watershed connections, tile connections, and other factors. public lands, those owned by federal, state, or county entities, make up only about 2% of the Iowa landscape. Iowa is next to last in the nation in the percent of land in public ownership. Only Rhode Island has a lower percentage. Because they make up such a small portion, our parks are both particularly valuable to the public and particularly vulnerable. Because of that, we are especially concerned about the proximity of confined animal feeding operations to our parks. While under current Iowa law, confined animal feeding operations under a certain size are exempt from any local control, we believe it is in the best interest of all of the citizens of Story County and its natural resources that such operations be located as far as possible from county parks. Degradation of the parks due to odors, fecal or bacterial contamination, and other potential hazards leads to the loss of park use to the public. Parks that citizens have contributed their tax dollars to, as well as volunteer hours and dollars, for the enjoyment of all. While the argument can be made that such animal feeding operations bring important added economic value to our agricultural crops, many studies have shown that park resources bring equal or more economic value to the community, in addition to recreational or aesthetic values. The public enjoyment of Story County parks generates an estimated $18 million annually. Therefore, we wish to express to our fellow Story County citizens, to the Story County Board of Supervisors, to the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, to our legislators, and to the governor, our firm opposition to the placement of confined animal feeding operations near our parks due to the potential for harm to our parks and to our citizens through loss of park use. We urge all with power in these matters, citizens and government representatives alike, to act in the best interests of our citizens and our natural resources. Further, we urge the Iowa legislature to restore local control over the placement of such facilities to the citizens and elected officials of the counties in which they are located. We believe local control will help find balance in economic development and environmental protection. And this resolution was passed unanimously and is signed by all five Conservation Board members.
Mike, I indicated last evening when this was presented to the group if the chair would comment on the term near because it appeared to be somewhat vague. And so in his absence, would you please reiterate the thoughts that not only Mr. Pease, but as well as I think the support of the board feels regarding that term near?
Yep, that was something that quite a bit of consideration was given to in the generation of this resolution. Do we define a distance as far as proximity to county parks or not? Given the dynamics of different sites, different operations, there are so many variables with prevailing wind directions, depending on the type of confinement, the vegetative cover around, that it's just the watershed connections, the tile connections. There are just so many variables that the Conservation Board just did not feel that it was appropriate to put a specific proximity in this resolution.
Any other questions, board, for Mike at this time?
Yeah, I'm asking you for speculation here, Mike, but I know that when this came forward, you were the first person I heard from on this when it came forward June 1st. I'm just curious, as you think this through, how far away would this one have had to have been? Where would it have had to have been to not trigger concerns, your concerns from conservation? Is there an acceptable distance from Hickory? I know you're dealing with a lot of water quality issues at Hickory Grove right now and issues like that. Would there have been a distance that this one wouldn't have set off whatever triggered your concerns on this one?
Well, that's a good question, Rick. And I think that this one certainly generated a higher level of concern because it does have the proximity that it does. It's roughly a mile away. Some of the fields are in the watershed area. We don't know for sure. Tile connections from one watershed to the other. It generates a lot of questions and concerns. Now, to say what would be an acceptable, that is speculation. I would say that if this particular one we didn't feel it would affect the water quality or the use of Hickory Grove, the Conservation Board may not have passed this resolution. But the fact that it would affect it certainly generated this resolution and this response. So, again, we'd have to look at watershed boundaries, prevailing winds, and all those other kind of factors that I alluded to earlier when we talk about what's near. We would have to look at all of those and determine if that might have an impact on our county natural resources or parks.
But is there any size of feeding operation that wouldn't concern the Conservation Board?
There hasn't been any discussion on the board as far as the size of operation. So I hesitate to really speculate an answer to that.
I think in fairness, not necessarily in fairness, but I think based on the last 5 years when we've had hawk confinement proposals brought before the county, and in a couple instances where we've had the master matrix triggered and we've had open public hearings and we've gone through the process, the Conservation Board was part of that interagency review team. The director was a part of that group. And in those cases, there was not the trigger or the direct implication that the locations of those confinements would have a negative impact on the park, its visitors, or the water quality. And so, therefore, they did not voice any objection as the interagency review team. So just so that we are clear that there have been other proposals that have been acceptable, that there was no objection from the director of the conservation.
Other question I had, Mike, is the second line of the resolution says, as such, we depend heavily on the careful stewardship of those around us to maintain the integrity of those parks. First of all, that makes perfect common sense to me, but I'm picturing this resolution as the proposal of some kind of non-defined bubble around all of our parks and waterways. Do we try to exert any control over the amount of fertilizer that's currently put on the agricultural land close to our parks? Is this a new area for us to be wading into from a conservation point of view? Or is it something that's pretty routine that you're out meeting with landowners, talking about what's going on the ground and things like that?
You know, that's a good question, too. And you know, we, of course, don't have any oversight of surrounding areas. We do try to work cooperatively. I can't speak to, you know, the long history of the Conservation Department with these matters. But I can say that typically, no, we do not. We do not work at this at a level with landowners. If we have concerns, and that goes both ways, then often we have conversation with landowners. Often we have conversations on drainage issues, both from our concerns from our perspective and concerns from adjoining landowner perspectives. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, we're concerned, but we're not really weighing in. This is something new for us to do from a conservation point of view.
Correct.
And then relying a little on I know you grew up with an agricultural background, help me understand, since I didn't, is commercial fertilizer, if it gets into our water system, is that better for the water system than manure, or are they comparable? What am I looking at there?
Well, I think you're in fairness, you're asking probably for an answer that I don't have. We did at the Conservation Board meeting last night have a very informative presentation by Dr. Michelle Supir from Iowa State University, who has studied water quality issues, both nutrient loading and sediment issues at Hickory Grove and in that watershed. She might have a better answer for you, or might have an answer for you as opposed to me. I know that it's a concern, but I can't speak to the differences between commercial and non-commercial and raw.
Okay, and I know you've shared with us a couple times. We're already, I guess, more than highly concerned about the water quality at Hickory Grove. We're undertaking a lot of projects and studies to try to improve it, and so I would expect that any potential addition of anything would be something that would really concern you with what you're undergoing.
Well, and that's our trigger point, exactly. And between water quality and odor, we know that Hickory Grove is an impaired water body. It is listed on the state's list of impaired water bodies due to bacteria. We know that there is bacteria in hog manure. We know that the water body already on several occasions exceeds the level acceptable by the state. We do monitoring in addition to the work that ISU is doing throughout the watershed and in several monitoring stations, monitoring locations around the lake. We do beach monitoring with the DNR. And so every week we take a water sample on the beach. Last year we had 5 exceedances. This year we started out the gate with 1 exceedance. The first exceedance of the year was high, or the first sampling of the year was high. The second sampling was well below standard, or well below acceptable limits. But we are concerned about it. We know we have to manage for it. We know that we have a water body that we have to pay particular attention to it. We know we have high levels, and we know we need to address those to maintain recreational use of the water and the lake, as well as the biological capacity of the lake. So this is what triggers our concern, is the water quality, in addition to the public usage.
Is it safe to say at this point that the issues that Hickory Grove Lake have or has is not caused currently by livestock feeding operations?
It's not safe to say that. It is safe to say that we know we have the contributors to high E. coli levels come from geese. It is safe to say that they do come from livestock, and it is safe to say that it comes from septic. Those are the 3 knowns that we have. Now, as far as, percentages on each one of those, we don't know. But we do know we have septic connections, we know we have E. coli generated from livestock, and we know we have it from geese.
Are there livestock producers currently in that watershed?
There are.
For the benefit of the audience and the board, this is becoming a national focus. I serve with the National Association of Counties on the Environmental, Energy, and Land Use Steering Committee. Matter of fact, I am the only Iowa representative on the National Land Use Energy Environmental Area. And I got on that committee primarily because Iowa didn't have a representative, and from my time serving on the Conservation Board, realizing that water quality and land use issues were very important to Midwest. And I can tell you beyond a doubt, the EPA and most of their regulations that are passed down through the federal government are all generated because of the coastal regions or the mining in the Pacific Northwest region in areas of this nature. Yet some of those requirements have to do with surface runoffs and water, which would have a dramatic impact on how farmers go about managing their land. And I wanted to make sure that Iowa's voice was brought to the table when decisions were made. And it's interesting that very few representatives from Midwest farming states are on that Environmental Energy and Land Use Steering Committee. But I think it is crucial, and I have been in contact with members of the Farm Bureau and directors, and have indicated when they see issues relative to the EPA guidelines that could have a negative effect on Iowa, at least let me know so that I could forward those on to the committee for consideration. Obviously, one voice is not going to stop anything, but it's important that at least those things are acknowledged. So I think water quality, as we're talking about here, and environmental factors, air pollutants and things of this nature, are beginning to be looked at on the national scale, which ultimately will come down to states such as Iowa unless we have an opportunity to address how we can develop that partnership, that great stewardship that you mentioned that we have engaged in with landowners here in Iowa. And I think that is really the key. The statement that I was mostly, that really struck me in the resolution talked about the balance, the word balance, the economic balance. And we are an agricultural state. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. Farmers are there to provide a livelihood as well as to provide resources to people that want to utilize the products that they generate. And so how we can work with them through regulations and build in a reasonable safeguards to prevent contamination to some of our most vital resources will continue to be a challenge, but it's not insurmountable. And I think what we're looking for is ways that we could get the local, the state, and the national government working in cohort on trying to resolve some of these particular issues. So I just feel that the position that I thought the Conservation Board came up with clearly recognized the value and the importance of farming and farm operations and all the variables that take place. And while there were others in the meeting that wanted us, the Conservation Board, to come up with a blanket idea of allowing for no a further hog confinement expansion in the state, I believe the Conservation Board took a reasonable a very reasonable approach to recognizing its value, but your primary concern was the location, in this case, of where this might affect one of our valuable water resources. And I think you also acknowledged that there are other water resources here in Story County that we need to be mindful of, that if confinements do go in or something similar to that, it could have a negative impact. Effect. So I just wanted to basically acknowledge what I thought was a well thought out position that I thought the Conservation Board came up with last evening.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next we have Jack Troger. I hope I pronounced that right. Yep, I did. Now that I see him walking up here. Jack's an old colleague, farmer educator. mature, senior. No. Welcome, Jack.
Of all three words to everybody in the room, it was told to me when I was 30 by a 60-year-old man, don't get old. I didn't pay attention. I'm Jack Troger. I'm from Ames. I've studied earth and sky since childhood, and I taught earth science for 30 years, so I do know a little bit about earth and the universe. This is why it's written down, because it doesn't work like it used to, which is why I no longer teach. I'm a lifelong terrorist. I believe in terrorism. Did I get your attention? Yes, I know what words you heard. Everyone hears them. Terrorist, terrorism. Sad. What a specious species we've become. That's why I chose terrorist and terrorism. I'm a terrorist. I believe in terrorism, terra, the Latin word for earth. I chose those words on purpose because I get people's attention. And when you teach ninth graders, that's what you got to do a lot of, right, Wayne?
Yep.
Our earth, our one and only home. Unlike the Lorax who speaks for the trees, I speak for all species. I've whittled my philosophy of life down to 7 short, simple words for everyone to understand. And though I cannot, nor can any of us, live these words fully in this civilized society, earth first in things, thoughts, deeds, decisions. I am a very quiet, shy, private. I am, you don't know me, shy, private, solitary critter. Personally, I do not enjoy confrontation, agitation, polarization, controversy. It sickens me. I don't like being bilious. I don't like being angry, grumpy, and grouchy. I'd rather restore Earth to its full splendor by being a kind, gentle, polite, grandfatherly geezer, like my dad was. But the factory farm forces in our society desire to destroy Earth with their phony food, the cause of obesity. You'll come to know that. You don't know that yet. Science hasn't proven it yet. I taught science. I know how science works. But it will. And they have set the stage for this battle, which I consider to be bigger than a galactic collision. So I will fight to my death to defend Earth from these corporatized Earth eaters with whatever word weapons I can wield. We humans chose to create this situation, this ungodly system of profit over people, this feud over foul food, factory farms for fish, cattle, chickens, eggs, pigs, sheep, turkeys, corns, beans, forests, etc. Everything we eat. It is not how it used to be. I'm old enough to know, and so are some of you. We humans can choose to dismantle the system that we've created. We can choose to discard it, and we can return to real food like I grew up on. Food that fed all of our ancestors for millennia. Ancestors who survived and thrived, or none of us would be sitting here this morning. Think about it. Words do not express my anger, as Mother Earth and Father Sky are systematically, intentionally, willfully, deliberately, religiously, ruthlessly ripped and raped by the capitalist cult of corporations and business people whose only reason to live seems to be the ultimate destruction of our only home, Earth. All for the sake of more money, more profit, more possessions. As a teacher, I don't even know what money is, hardly. We humans invented this system of earth destruction, corporate capitalism. We humans can choose to dismantle it and discard it, or we can face our own extinction. Choose. It's your choice. Point blank. Liquid manure in lagoons cannot be managed. Earth cannot be managed. She knows how to do it. She perfected it over 4.5 billion years. I'm almost done.
I'm going to allow you at least a minute and a half.
My thoughts and words are intended to make you think, you know, I could go on for days. I know you do. My thoughts and words are intended to make you think, and in the old days, right off the top of my head, to awaken in you an awareness of your only home and give you a reason to do what you know in your heart is the right thing to do on this issue. You earth first in things, thoughts, deeds, decisions. You asked several people questions about, well, how many people, how many hogs is a proper number? I would ask you to seek a source of knowledge and great wisdom on this subject, a man who I have read every one of his books. And though I disagree with probably 80% of what he writes, the 20% that he writes about how to farm appropriately, I agree with 100%. His name is Joel Salatin, J-O-E-L. They're taking notes, my God. That's wonderful.
Your teacher.
They're taking notes. Are you? Joel. Oh, I was a. God, I miss my kids. Joel Salatin, S-A-L-A-T-I-N, at Polyface, P-O-L-Y-F-A-C-E, one word, Polyface Farms in Virginia. Read his books, get by his philosophy, but learn from him. Even Mr. Menz can learn from him how to farm. And I know it can be done profitably because my wife's family does it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you. And it's great seeing you.
Jack, I think that was really good. Next time, would you work some alliteration into what you're doing?
Bachelor's degree in English.
Good stuff.
So I have no control over it, but there is a cartoon that I can't remember it, but it's a cartoon that has about eight A words. Alliteration is.
Thank you, Jack. It's great seeing you. Okay, Lord Rasmussen is next. Okay, we just have a couple more.
My name's Lloyd Rasmussen. I've lived in the vicinity of Hickory Grove Lake my whole life. First of all, how can, if I wanted to put up a horse barn, I had to get a permit for two horses. How come there's no permits on hog confinements?
As I understand it, it's a state issue. The state has set up how this process is going to work, and building, again, as I understand it, building any other kind of building that's not an animal feeding operation is treated differently than this.
Well, my horses were feeding them. I mean, I don't starve them.
You just didn't have enough.
Yeah. If I have to get a permit for two horses, why don't you have to for 2,500 hogs?
Good question.
I went to the facility or the spot where they're going to propose build it. If you stand and look at the lay of the land, it all runs to Hickory Grove that way, and it all runs to my lake. I just purchased the farm my son and I did last week. 6-acre lake. Soil Conservation helped build it in 1960. It was built for water conservation. If it gets contaminated, what do we got? A lagoon. The tiles all run that way towards my pond. I just purchased a drag line to clean it up, try and get all the silt out of it because it's really deep. I'm not going to until we find out if it's going to be lagoon or what.
Boy, did you and I exchange some emails last week? Okay.
My wife might have. Okay. At one of our earlier meetings, one of the local hog producers over by Hickory Grove stated that he wouldn't build there now, but he built where he was, and he was there before the lake, before Hickory Grove. He was there. Well, my lake was there before this hog confinement was proposed. Do I have any rights to protect mine?
You have some good questions. All right. Unfortunately, we don't have the answers for you.
All right.
Thank you.
I think you're exercising one of your rights right now.
I know.
Getting up and speaking is clearly one of the rights you have. As far as beyond that, that's the process we're in.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jim Freeburg, next.
Jim Freeburg, I'm from here in Nevada. I've been in Story County or lived here since 1964 when I joined with Hertz Farm Management Organization, and I've been a professional farm manager until I retired here in 2003. The reason I'm here, and I understand, and we've used the park, and I have no concern or I agree with all the concerns that everybody's registered here. But I also have worked very closely in agriculture and know all the changes that are going on. I thought it was interesting last night. They asked what were the livestock that were in the area of the watershed. And if I recall, it was maybe a dozen cattle. One person had a flock of about 100 sheep and a couple other maybe little ewe flocks. I don't think there were any hogs that were in that watershed. And I know the impaired water situation out there is a real problem. But just on my experience and what I'll say, I would say 90% of it comes from septic tanks, which ought to be unhooked and go through a filter system instead of into the tile. And the other is the geese. And there's a lot of them out there. And I've been up and down those roads enough to know that they're there. And you got to do something to get rid of the geese, or at least keep them from littering there right on the edge of the lakes. As far as the hog setup, what you're looking at here was a situation where a young man is trying to continue on with his family and the farming. Things have changed so much, the land prices are so high, you can't buy land. And this was an investment opportunity for a young person where you jointly work with an organization that will provide some pigs for you. He would own the buildings. He would take care of it. It would be all his own labor. And, it's just, to me, it's still a family farm. I was raised on a farm. I know what it's like. And, we had the chickens and everything, and we were raised on 120 acres. And my dad put all three of us through college. But you can't do that today. That's not reality. And the economics of the whole thing, I appreciated Jack's talk about, impassioned talk about the earth. That was our job as a farm manager, is to you think about the earth and what's happening out there all the time, and what's best as far as conservation and sustainability. Last thing I'll say is the men's family, and that's really why I'm here. I just wanted to support them because I know they had a cause that they were hoping they could do something. But I will tell you that in all the years I worked, they're one of the better farm operations that I've worked with. Very, very conscientious, very timely. And they're spraying anything they do. Boy, I'll tell you, it's precise. And they watch wind directions and watch so that if anything happens, they're not going to do it. And so that's why I'm here, just to support them, because I don't want them to be pointed out as a bad. They're tops. And I'd like to see them have a chance to do something, but I don't know what it is. I really, frankly, even with that location, with the controlling of the manure that you put on, you knife it in, it isn't put on top. The fertility. Here's the thing. I went over to a meeting a couple weeks ago that Dr. Mike Duffy had for the soil management and land valuation seminar. Two of the speakers there talked about, and this is going to happen, that livestock is going to come back into Iowa much more than what it has, and the reason is because we have the land here to put the manure on. And manure is the whole problem. They even showed this picture over in Korea, if you can believe this. A barge full of hog manure was hauled out and dumped in the ocean. It's crazy. But this is the problem. If people want to eat and have food, we got to work together.
Thank you.
And Jim, And last I have is Kristen Clem.
Gentlemen, Christian Clem, lifetime resident of Nevada. I'm just here to express my opposition to the proposed confinement, you know, based on the impacts that it could have to the water quality and the air quality. And I think that drum's been beat enough that I'm not going to extrapolate on that. As I shared at last week's meeting, my family's livelihood is dependent on agriculture. I know the Menzes. We know each other, and so it's not lightly that that I get up here and share this opposition. I've been in a similar situation. My family owns Almaco here in town. 1997, we went to expand our manufacturing facility, and one of the neighbors filed suit against the city of Nevada, and it was a nasty deal. It drug out for over a year. And cost the city and the people involved thousands and thousands of dollars. And so I've been on both sides of the coin in a situation like this. But, you know, I guess I want to try to get down to what I call the nitty-gritty. And from what I understand, I know that the application's been withdrawn, but from the information that I have, we need to be operating as if it was still in existence. I think that the fact that the integrator, I don't know for sure. My gut is telling me that the integrator backed out because of the publicity that this was receiving. I don't know if that's the case or not. Again, being in business myself on a pursuit like this, I wouldn't be taking it lightly, and I would be right back out there trying to find another partner to make this go. And so I would share that I would encourage people not to lose sight of this issue. I would encourage the board not to lose sight of this issue because I believe it's going to be right back on the table, and we're all going to be dealing with it. I was thinking about this morning, and it reminded me made me think that we've received a stay of execution by the integrator backing out. It's given us some time to regroup and to think about the situation and decide how to react to it. And for me personally, I think it's very clear from the research that I've done that this body has no authority over this issue at all. This is just an opportunity to go on record and voice concerns. I also understand from talking with the DNR and the individual that's going to be responsible for looking at the application and approving it, that the regulations are being met, and this project will be given the green light. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And so there's only two things that are going to keep this from happening, and I shared those last week as well. And one is if the Menzes decide not to move forward with the project, or two is some type of legal action. And no one wants to see that type of thing go on. So I have a couple questions for the board. One of them is of a technical nature, and it may require legal counsel to answer it. But if we were to find that the only option we had to try to prevent this from happening was for Story County to file suit against the applicants, do you, as board members, have the authority to represent Story County to bring that suit forward?
First of all, it is a legal question, and it would be a question that the board, in consultation with the county attorney, would discuss. It would not be something that we would enter into lightly. It would establish a precedent that I'm not very much aware of. So I really don't know at this point where we stand. I know we would not be willing to make a commitment one way or the other on an issue such as this.
Sure. And again, the question is more of a technical one is really right. What I'm looking at. It doesn't matter whether it's this particular issue or any issue.
Well, Christian, I would expand the question. I wouldn't feel comfortable trying to answer a question like that, but I would even expand it to say who has the authority. Yeah. If anybody does the conservation board have the authority to go on their own and do something? I mean, there's different entities within Story County as well that I think we would need to ask that question of, just to know where everything was.
Sure, and I think you've already alluded to my second question, and it's very possible or likely that it could be put to each one of you, is what will your position be on this issue, and whether it's in the form of legal action, or whether it's in the form of giving an interview to the newspaper. Are you going to stand up and say, in this particular situation, I support this project and I believe it should move forward? Or are you going to say, I don't believe this is in the best interest of Story County, and it's something that I cannot support? So I would just ask that. I'm sure you've already been thinking about that issue in your mind as well.
Well, at this point, this is not part of the process that we have before us right here today.
I understand.
That would be a discussion that would have to come at a later date if we so desired.
Certainly. Okay. I think that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
And Rick, I know you have to go, and I
still got 4 minutes.
The one question I would want us to be thinking about, and I believe it was Mike Cox that at least proposed the bringing this to the attention, and that had to do with the resolution that was adopted last evening. One of the things that I would like to have us at least think about is whether we would want to consider some form of a support for the Conservation Board, since they are a key entity of the county, and at some point other than at this particular meeting. So I would just want us to acknowledge that we have had that presented to us, and something that we might need to take some type of formal action at a later date.
Well, Wayne, I think as I understand our process, even if we wanted to, we couldn't take action on something like this today because it hadn't been brought to us in the public format. The second part is, you're our representative to the Conservation Board, so I think if ultimately you feel this is something that this board needs to address and take action, then you simply need to put it on agenda. I'll caution you that, I mean, you know, I don't know what my schedule looks like for the foreseeable future, so I can't commit that I'm going to be here next Tuesday, and I really do.
It wouldn't be on
part
next
of these,
Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I really do want to be part of these conversations. Christian makes a good point. At the end of the day, while we don't have the authority to do anything here, we are going to take some kind of stand. I mean, the three of us, in some way or another, we're either going to decide. We're doing something, we're doing nothing, we're going to pass the buck because it's not our decision. I mean, we get to make some kind of decision in this thing, even though it doesn't have the impact and force of carrying consequence necessarily. I would suggest to Christian that I actually see a third possibility. You suggested either, I think, the men's could stop doing this, or there could be some kind of legal action. I'd suggest that there's still a third possibility, which is we come to some sort of resolution. We find a way to mitigate some of the concerns, enough of the concerns, that while there's, you know, clearly what we've heard today, for some, there's not going to be any acceptable practice that involves large-scale feeding. It seems to me we have large-scale feeding. It means that it has been approved and accepted in other areas. Wayne, I know you went through one in the early 2000s. So I'm still looking for, I'm trying to educate myself, first of all, as much as possible. It doesn't take long listening to me to know that I didn't grow up on a family farm. And I want to know more, but I'm still looking for that third way. And I've been really appreciative of all the comments. I mean, I think that's what we're here for in this process.
Well, there was no question. And in my article to the Des Moines Register that appeared in Sunday's paper, my comment was that question about trying to understand the balance that was necessary here to respect the rights of the men's family and their desire, as well as all of those factors. And ideally, whether another site could be selected that would not have the same impact. If I had to list the preference, that would be the position that I would take. I think it is, because of its location and where it is at, and the potential for having an adverse effect on the park and its visitors and the economic vitality of our park system that I, you know, am reluctant to feel that I should remain silent and not voice support for what the Conservation Board has brought forth as a reasonable alternative, not denying other opportunities, but specifically be concerned about locations near parks and particularly water sources. So,
and again, my apologies to everybody. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so that is all we have for the agenda today. Please understand, folks, that it was the board's intent not to dismiss this. Last week we took no action. Normally when we receive a request such as this that fall below the triggering point for a public hearing is that it's on the consent agenda and then it's moved forward. We had citizens call it to our attention that they would want to weigh in on this topic. We felt that we had a responsibility to provide an avenue. So in view of the fact that it did not come through a normal public forum kind of a situation, we did allow for public comment because of the nature of this proposal. I believe that we have done so. I think the men's have demonstrated that they have been very viable and productive community members. And as Mr. Freeberg had mentioned, and I've heard from several other people, I have no doubt that in my mind that there was never any ill intent to create harm to the park. However, there is a lot of unknowns out there. And it's because of those unknowns and its location that many citizens are really frightful of what might be down the line if we have some situations. So I would just like to say thank you for all that have come. Thank you for the men's family for listening, not only last night, but this morning. I think you understand the gravity of this situation. And I'm hoping, as Rick indicated, that there could be some way that we could find some resolution to move forward in a positive manner. From that standpoint, Paul, I do not believe that there is any action that is required based on the fact that this particular request had been removed for any further consideration.
I don't believe there is either. I just want to take a minute to thank everybody for taking the time to come today. I know it's an emotional issue. It's going to continue to be an emotional issue. With my conversation with Mr. Theobald from the DNR last week, his overall thought was if the landowners and the property owners and the residents in that area are concerned about it, they need to reach out to the men's family. And like Rick said, the third alternative was there a possibility for a different location for this? And that was his advice. He told me point blank on the phone, he says, I have no reason not to approve this manure management plan. It meets all the guidelines that the DNR are required to look at. And he said there's no reason for the DNR not to approve this plan. He said if there's that much concern in that area, he said the residents and the landowners need to reach out to the men's family and see if they can come up with a solution. And that's my suggestion. If there's that much concern, and it's going to be up to the men's family if they want to talk to their neighbors or not, I don't know why they wouldn't. If they want to sit down at a table and try to figure this out, I think any one of the three of us would agree to sit down and try to mediate this or facilitate it any way that we could. But Christian spoke correctly. If they choose to continue their pursuit of another contractor to supply the animals, we'll be back here in the near future with the same discussion.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so with that, we will then move on to other agenda items. Those of you are welcome to remain if you wish to leave. I understand that as well. And feel free to continue to communicate with us if you have issues or concerns. Thank you. They allow for a quick moment before we move on.
How you doing over there? Stacy, all caught up?
Okay. I have time to run to the restroom right quick. Father, the Father.
I'll do that real quick.
Help yourself. Take them in the back, let them take the jail elevator down. If you'd take the crowd back, let them take the jail elevator down. They probably would want to. It is. I don't know. Yeah. I think so. Maybe not. I don't know.
I believe moving on down, consideration of personnel action is the next item of consideration. And I will second it. It's been moved and seconded. The approval of personnel. Is there no further comments? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Personnel action is approved. On the consent agenda, please add item number, is it 14, road closure, 1264 for Grant Township.
That was just added, Wayne, this
was
morning.
Just added this morning.
It was just
morning.
Added this morning, right. So, right.
Okay. Otherwise, all other items are good to go.
Move approval with noted change.
Second. It's been moved and second. The approval of the consent agenda with noted changes. Roll call, Toot.
Aye.
Clinton, aye. Consent agenda is adopted. Okay. Okay. Now move on to... item number 8, I believe, on the public hearing. Okay. No items, no additional items. Agency reports. National Alliance for the Mental Illness, Deb Niehoff of NAMI. Thank you, Deb. And
Deb, you lost your audience.
Always a pleasure to see you.
Big change.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people are very much aware of your organization and what you do.
Yeah, thank you for letting me be here this morning to speak on behalf of NAMI Central Iowa. I'll just start with our mission statement, which is to support and educate and advocate for individuals living with mental illness and also for their family members. We're able to do everything that we do here in Story County without any cost to the people that we serve. Due to generous funding through the asset process of the city, the county, United Way, and gifts from individuals. Just briefly under education, we offer monthly programs where we bring speakers in that the community can come and learn more about mental illness. We offer educational classes for family members and for individuals with mental illness themselves to better understand the illnesses and to better learn how to communicate with each other, with their medical providers. And we educate the public by speaking whenever we're asked to speak to any groups. Under advocacy, we try to keep legislators informed, and this fall we will once again have a candidates forum on September 11, where we will be speaking about disability issues and asking candidates for their thoughts. Support. We offer two support groups every week for people living with mental illness and once a month for family members. And where the county comes in is the Emergency Assistant Loan Fund. In 2011-12, we were granted $3,500 to be able to give emergency loans to individuals with mental illness. Mostly we use that for medication, for transportation, for rent deposits, utilities, the kinds of things that people need to be able to continue to be self-sufficient. We've provided just over $3,200 to 12 individuals. it was kind of interesting. We wondered why there wasn't more with the economic situation, and all we can think of is the last few months have been very quiet since the Richmond Center closed their outreach. Those outreach workers are the people who were aware of people's needs and would contact us. So, and we thank you for the $3,500 that you have provided for the next year. The Mental Health Wellness Center is something that I know you intended to support to the tune of $3,000, and it looks like that may not be happening, but we really appreciate just the show of support, and we'll be coming back to you asking again. We have really, really enjoyed great success with that center, and I just want to run through a couple of things. We've had 60 different people come to the center. Many of them come every day. We have over 200 visits each month, so it is really being used. It was funded by a grant from United Way Endowment Fund for half the year, Story County Community Foundation for half the year, and now it will be going through Asset and United Way. People are helped because we have programs that promote a whole health approach to recovery from mental illness, with things like art groups and writing groups, photography classes, exercise programs, things that would help any of us with our mental health. And I want to just conclude with a couple of testimonials that people have written. One participant said, "The Mental Health Wellness Center positively impacts my mental health by creating stability and structure after a hospitalization. I had a hard time adjusting to my regular activities and social interactions. I know that I have an understanding place to come to and have helpful peers who are becoming my network of support." And one other testimonial, many of these people, and this was an unintended consequence, many of the people who come to the center are also volunteering in different ways. They're volunteering to help individuals, to lead programs, to do things like cleaning, welcoming people. And so this person wrote, "Volunteering at the center has helped me stay busy, which helped with my mental illness, because I was interacting with people and helping people rather than sitting home and doing nothing. Coming up with good ideas for the group was validating." So just in summary, one in four persons in our country today is affected by mental illness. The good news is that treatment works for these biological illnesses. Along with medication and therapy, support groups and wellness programs help people to get out of isolation and live fulfilling lives. NAMI Central Iowa appreciates the help that Story County offers in reaching out to these people and their family members. Well, thank you.
Well, Deb, as we are going through the transition with Ollie Ball taking over, I'm sure that you will continue to reach out and work with Deb and Gayla and the Ollie Ball representatives to make sure that your clients' needs are met, and that is any assistance that we can give in that endeavor. Please keep us posted on that, because we certainly acknowledge the work that has been done and the programs that have had a major impact on the quality of life for the people who might seek assistance from your program. So I certainly want to thank you, and it's my desire that as the next few years, depending upon what happens at the state level and the mental health redesign and the role of regionalization and how Story County is all going to be a player in that, I think the ultimate goal is that there is the avenues by which people that need assistance or can receive it. I definitely believe that that's certainly something that is, we shouldn't see a real decline. And if you know that there are some clients, as you've indicated, that in the outreach program, some of the other areas that perhaps are not quite sure where to go, there are contacts that we can make sure that you have so that they can get the type of assistance they need. Okay? All right. Thank you.
Where's your where's the wellness center located?
416 South Douglas. No, I'm sorry, not South Douglas. Douglas, 416 Douglas, Suite 100. So just kitty corner from the public library. We moved there in January, and it's been a good spot for us. Yeah.
Great. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Next, departmental reports. Don't believe we have any. Liaison assignments, anything, Paul? Just briefly, I did meet with Deb yesterday, and primarily the source of the meeting was just to kind of see where we are going with the transition with Heartland Senior Services transitioning its transportation over to HERDA, which will take place July 1st. I was just updating her that all the contracts have been signed and approved by both boards. We have secured a facility for the storage of the buses on East Lincoln Way, and an office, new office space will also be right behind the Integrity building that Friedrich has on East Lincoln Way, right near the bus facility. So everything is going along well there. Deb will be bringing to the board for us to look at how the asset funding would need to be shifted to HERDA because they would be treated similar to Homework in the agreements that we've had in the past. And I think that there are some things that they still need to receive, but that is being prepared and should be presented to us very soon. And then the other thing is just more or less an FYI. This Friday, as you know, we're meeting with about 13 other counties here at 10 o'clock just to begin the discussion about what regionalization may look like and what kinds of questions that member counties and CPCs will have regarding how we can position ourselves to deal with the most recent changes in the legislature and the redesign. So hopefully you'll be able to attend the juvenile detention for me, and I will attend that meeting here with the other supervisors and CPCs this Friday. So other than that, that's about all I have as far as that. All, and then the Conservation Board last evening, again, was an excellent meeting. I think the agenda clearly focused primarily on the proposed confinement facility. There was a approval of the master matrix for the Dakin's Lake expansion and approval of the second reading of rules and regulations for Robinson Wildlife Acreage. And the proposed cost of living increases that the Conservation Board approved that the Board of Supervisors gives to all employees starting July 1. So, and then there was an approval supporting the establishing of a foundation, which is endowment and other charitable giving mechanisms, which will support conservation efforts in Story County. And this has been something they had been working on for the past 2 years. And 2.5 years, and so finally they cleared that hurdle and established the resolution to establish a foundation. Okay. Next, we then have public comments number two. Are there any concerns that on items not on the agenda, the board may not take any action but may do so in the future? Nothing? Okay. Announcement from the supervisors.
Yeah. Just a reminder, if we're going to cover this or not, but next week we will have a public meeting on Tuesday, but the only thing on our agenda is the approval of the claims list, because Rick will be gone and Wayne and I will both have a meeting in Des Moines at 9 o'clock. So we'll just meet to consider the claims list and then adjourn.
Okay. All right. So that was the only other thing I had. And at this time, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Moved.
And I will second it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? You can adjourn. Okay, thank you. It's, yeah.